Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And Joe, one of the stories of camp so far, and we see the videos coming out every day, and it's generating some buzz here locally, also generating some buzz on the national scale as well. Treylon Burks winning a whole lot of one-on-one routes in practice to this point, making some plays down the field. Looks good, looks crisp, looks like he's catching the ball well out there, and it has lots of people very excited about Treylon Burks and what he could possibly be for the Tennessee Titans this year. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is going to command a lot of attention in this offense, and we'll get into what your thoughts have been from him to this point coming up in just a few minutes as well. But lots of excitement about Treylon Burks early on into training camp. Joe, what have you noticed? What have you seen from Treylon Burks to this point in camp?
It's been pretty impressive, not going to lie. Don't want to overreact. It's like the play of Saturday was Burks against Fulton. It was the very first play of individual. Tannehill throwing, Burks against Fulton, and it's a deep shot, and Tannehill throws it a little too far, and Burks lays out, diving, catch for touch. That's the first day with fans, so the fans are cheering, and it was a big-time play. Now, remember, individual, so I mean, Vrabel brought this up the other day. It's like sometimes you – it's like, you know, some of these things, it's like, okay, so play outside leverage on something. It's like, okay, so then here's the entirety of the field if it's an in-cutting route. I mean, the cornerback should get torched for the most part in those situations, and they often. And so you got to keep that in mind. But he's made plenty of plays in team, 7-on-7, whatever you want. He looks fast. He looks explosive. Again, he's out there in 97, 96, 98, whatever it is, and he's fine. So last year, all the talk in the spring, the asthma, him being out of shape, all of it seemed to conspire to, you know, really make it tough for him out there. He seems to be having zero issues now. So based on that play, but plays in team and stuff too, I do think that he will be – stretching the field a fair amount. You know, he's a guy you want to get the ball in his hands quickly and let him run with it. Of course, big and physical, very good with the ball in his hands. But I also do think that there will be some vertical usage of Treylon Burks, and I think it could be effective.
Doesn't it feel like to you that just all the information that we've heard on him this offseason, be that from spring and OTAs where everybody was talking about how good a shape he's in, you know, Charles Robinson on our show has talked about hearing from people inside the Titans organization that think that he's going to be a superstar this year. We've seen what he's done in camp to this point. Doesn't it kind of feel like things are setting up for him to kind of burst onto the scene this year, even with DeAndre Hopkins coming in now and kind of have that breakout year? I know it's only his second year, but and health is going to be a big part of it, but it just feels like there's a lot of positive momentum for Treylon Burks right now heading into camp.
Yeah, there is. And even Hopkins, like listening to Hopkins, I think it was Saturday, talk about Burks too, you know, at one point basically like, yeah, like he and I are going to, you know, basically to paraphrase, do some things this year. I mean, Hopkins can see it out there. Obviously, Hopkins been in this league a long time, has played at the very highest level at that position. And he sees what he has in a sort of outside receiver tag team partner in Treylon Burks. So that it's a nice combination for Tim Kelly to have, along with, by the way, if we want to expand the conversation on receivers, I mean, Kyle Phillips is back to just making people look silly out there. So you could see where it could all work together, I think, especially with those three, and be problematic for defenses. Then you throw Chig into the equation. You just got to be able to stand in a pocket for long enough to deliver the ball to them.
Yep, and we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes, because depending on your perspective, you could either be really encouraged by the Titans so far, or you could be scared out of your mind, maybe a combination of the two. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. One thing I have wondered at receiver, and this is even after Hopkins came in, was like down the field, taking the deep shots. And the offensive line's a big part of that, no question about it. But taking deep shots down the field, like, who's going to be that guy? Like, is Hopkins going to be that guy at this stage of his career? I mean, there was the nice diving backward one-handed catch that he made the other day that shows that he can still catch some of those passes for you. You know, was it going to be Burks? Was it going to be McMath? Was it going to be somebody, you know, coming in, you know, as kind of that deeper guy? Treylon Burks, to this point, I mean, it looks like, number one, like you said, you want to get him the ball in his hands early because of what he can do with the ball of his hands, you know, after the catch. But if he's also like your explosive deep guy down the field and he can consistently do that for you, that makes me feel a whole lot better about this offense, being able to take some shots down the field and maybe convert on some of those. Now that we saw a couple of times last year with from Treylon Burks, I think one in the Green Bay game for sure, and I think another one in the Jacksonville game where he was 40, 50 yards down the field. But if he can do that consistently, that changes the way this offense can operate.
Right, and if he's going to be just really good all the way around, if this, like you said, this positive momentum is going to carry on into the season where he's doing everything you need well, then he's just going to get, he's going to dominate the snaps. And, you know, and that's, I mean, like the idea of throw in someone here or there, you know, every team does that some, but then some teams have like, there's a big gap between like their top two receivers and everybody else, right? It's basically like everybody else is just kind of backing up if needed. I could see that maybe being the case. Now, that also means Burks and Hopkins, obviously, hashtag if healthy, and they've got to be able to do that workload. But there's a, it's a pretty clear dividing line after those two, you know, to, and then everyone else, in my opinion. Already, that's clear. That's no surprise with Hopkins. And by the way, a few things on Hopkins. One, yes, like you said, he had that long catch on Fulton. Fulton could not have covered him better. That was also individual. Fulton could not have played that better, but Hopkins comes away with that 50-50 ball like he does so often. That's what he does. One thing I didn't realize about him is how skinny he is. Like, you know, I guess I always thought of him as a little bit more, you know, like a bigger physical guy, a little bit more. You know what I mean? But he really is incredibly skinny. But he's just, you know, his route running, his smoothness, and, you know, change of speed and all that stuff is really special. I mean, again, obviously the guy is a great receiver, and he has all that stuff. And again, he has that ability to make those plays. So I think Hopkins will be also here and there a deep threat, just because you feel like even if he is well covered, as long as there's not a safety that is going to enter the picture, you got a good chance with him. But I think more than that, he's going to be more, as we've talked about, more the possession guy.
Well, the thing with Hopkins that is just unbelievable and always has been is the catch radius. Like that, for those who missed it, like that catch he made, and I think Jim Wyatt, I mean, everybody tweeted out the video of the catch he had the other day of just diving backwards with one hand. Like, his ability to just make those type of catches, a lot of people make those catches. The frequency with which he does it has always been something that separates him. Like, he makes those catches all the time, which is why if you're a quarterback, like if you're Tannehill, we talk about, you know, building trust with receivers and sometimes maybe throwing a ball up to a guy and hoping he comes down with it, that maybe he's not totally open. Like, Hopkins is that guy to a T to me. Like, you can, more often than not, he's going to be the one coming down with the ball.
Yes. So early on, it looks good. That, like I said, that looks good. Someone on the text line said Chris Moore having a good camp too. And yeah, I mean, Chris Moore, talk about Vrabel gushing. I don't know if he's gushed about anybody. He's talked a lot about Fulton, and I think he's excited about what he's seen from Christian Fulton. And Christian Fulton's been really good. You know, it's funny, some of the bigger plays at camp so far have been at his expense, but he looks good. But Vrabel gushed about Chris Moore the other day, you know, basically like, wish I had him a few years ago, consummate pro, all this stuff. Like, there's some reporters covering this team who were talking about Chris Moore not making the team. I highly doubt that. But I do think that, you know, Moore and NWI are largely, you know, backing up those top two. If those top two are available, that's a combination you take into a game and you strike a little bit of fear in the other team.
We'll take more of your thoughts on Treylon Burks. Is he about to burst onto the scene in the NFL this year? Your thoughts on him, DeAndre Hopkins, and we will get into the Titans offensive line as well coming up. That's all next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 1025, 1063, The Game for driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, one huge weekend event. Go to musiccitygp.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event this Friday through Sunday. So looking forward to that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got a texter on the text line, Joe, that says, as excited as I get from training camp videos, I have to remind myself not to freak out yet and think we're going to win the Super Bowl, LOL. And one thing I will say to your point, the pads haven't come on, full pads yet. And a lot of these one-on-one drills, the receivers should have the advantage. So I'm not trying to take anything away from Treylon Burks. I think it's good to be excited about him, or DeAndre Hopkins. Just something to keep in mind as you move through the training camp part of this process if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, every single team right now, there's reason to get excited. Like, who's the worst team in the league? Who would we say is the worst team in the league right now?
I mean, Arizona's in the conversation. For like, sure.
You know, there's some stuff going on in Arizona, I'm sure. You know, there were the diehard Cardinals fans like, well, maybe people are sleeping on us, folks. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, every team has talent, and that's always the difficulty is, you know, every team has talent somewhere. And also every team has deficiencies. Sometimes the deficiencies help people look more talented than they are, if that makes sense.
I got Colton on the text line says, with D-Hop being in the slot and Treylon being on the outside, how do you guys think this will affect Kyle Phillips' snap count and development? This from Colton on the text line.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I don't know that D-Hop's going to be in the slot a ton. You know, obviously he has talked about and Kaharski asked about and I think wrote about the fact that Tim Kelly put him there a lot, I think his first year as OC, and it worked out really well. That doesn't mean that's going to be a steady diet of that now. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, I think he'll move around for sure. I think you'll see Treylon Burks sometimes move around to the slot. I mean, it's a great thing when you have that versatility.
Yep.
And if someone knows where they're, you know, to give defenses different looks. I still think Kyle Phillips is going to get a lot of snaps. I think Kyle Phillips in the slot is something. He is just the shiftiness and the preciseness of him as a route runner is just like you get him in a man situation out there and it's just free yardage, not a ton necessarily, but that's a nice thing to have. So I think you're going to see him a fair amount.
Everybody talks about Joe, you know, like if Burks could have stayed healthy last year for the whole year, what could it have been? And I understand that, and I certainly think Treylon Burks has more upside than Kyle Phillips. I would have loved to have seen what the impact on the offense would have been last year had Kyle Phillips been healthy the whole season. If all the same problems still existed and you had the injuries and you had the offensive line, but if he was still in there and available, like how often would he have gotten the football last year? Would have been really interesting to see.
Yeah, and Kyle Phillips he's kind of an antidote to the bad offensive line. You know, a guy like that, right, it's the ball can get out quickly and you can move the chains a little bit more easily when you have a guy like that. So, you know, last year they had a lot of different limitations and complications, and yeah, I think he would have been a very productive player. Austin from Clarksville says, out of Kyrus Jackson and Treshawn Harrison, who do you think will make the team? Treshawn Harrison is one of the stories of camp so far, but you got to distinguish. Is it a story of camp because it's camp, or is it a story of camp and he actually might make this football team? Right now, Austin, I would say neither will make the team. Kyrus Jackson also, he had a move the other day. I forget who he shook, but it was like, whoa. That said, I look at Kyrus Jackson, and I think of Mason Kinsey and other receivers who, like, he's a small, shifty nice player. I think it's going to be tough for him to make this team. Treshawn Harrison has been very impressive. So keep that name in mind. Keep an open mind. But go through the receiver roster and tell me who's not making it for either of those guys. I don't think I could definitely see one or both on the practice squad. Or,
right.
But I'd be very surprised if either of those guys makes the 53.
Well, and the thing is, when you've got, you know, I still believe there are five locks at wide receiver for the Titans. And when you have that, whether you're Jackson, Harrison, whoever, Kinsey, whoever you're talking about, it's one thing to be doing it the first few days of camp, and that's great. It's a good sign. Can you sustain it throughout the entirety of camp? Because that's what it's going to take, right? Like, you to put yourself even in the conversation, like, they're going to have to perform well in the preseason games. They're going to have to perform well in the joint practices against the Vikings and the Patriots. So it's great that they're off to a good start, particularly with Harrison, but can you sustain it? That's really what a lot of it comes down to this time of year.
Exactly. I mean, right now, like, if I'm Colton Dowell, Rayson McMath, and by the way, they've both done some good things. The receivers in general have had too many drops, I would say, so far. But
yep.
You know, if you're those guys, you're looking at Treshawn Harrison and saying, okay, got to pick it up a little bit. I mean, Reggie Robertson's out there still too. You know, they've got some decent depth, camp depth at the position. I want to read LD. He says, I hate to be Debbie Downer. The Titans are one Burks or slash Hopkins injury away from being right back to square one, lack of playmakers at wide receiver. As a Titans fan, that's very worrisome. Okay, but so let's go to the Vikings. Oh, Justin Jefferson gets hurt. Let's go to the Eagles. Smith or AJ gets hurt, right? I mean, isn't that basically true? I mean, I suppose the Bengals could absorb an injury to a key receiver and, you know, be fine. But, I mean, isn't that basically true of any team? I mean, how many teams have, you know, great, you know, they just go to receiver three and four and it's like the same thing basically. You know, they're going to have a huge drop-off.
Even like the Cowboys, right? Like you've got Brandon Cooks that have come in. CeeDee Lamb's your number one. You know, Gallup is in there. They've got three pretty good receivers. Yeah, but if CeeDee Lamb goes down, you're feeling pretty different about it. It's just Cooks and Gallup out there. It's not the same thing as having CeeDee Lamb, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much a problem for everybody, or a potential problem.
Now, I mean, if it was just Burks, that's why the Hopkins thing is such a big deal to me, because number one, everything you just talked about in the last segment of the trust factor and throwing in the football and all those things, but just where he slots everybody else. Like, look, I am interested to see Chris Moore. You know, what does he look like in the role that he's going to play this year for the Titans? We know this much about NWI, and I know people get tired of seeing NWI on the field, but we know that he's at least reliable out there. Like, he's going to run the right route most of the time. He can play every position you want him to play at wide receiver. You can line him up anywhere. So when you have a receiving room that you can stack a little bit of depth, nobody's going to confuse Chris Moore or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from, you know, Treylon Burks out there. But I do feel way better about the depth with just Hopkins coming in. And I think that's a big deal as they head into camp too. Now, it doesn't help guys like McMath and Dowell and Treshawn Harrison who are trying to carve out a roster spot for themselves. But if you're a Titans fan, the difference between having Hopkins on this team from depth at wide receiver and not, to me, is pretty massive when you look around the rest of the league too.
Right. And a guy like NWI, someone's going to get hurt. I mean, they're going to need to go to the depth. There's, of course, a drop-off, but the great thing about NWI is he's a pro. He is going to, you know, he can go out there and make plays. He can go catch some passes for you. He can play anywhere. That's a great depth piece to have. It's what he should be. So, like we talked about when they signed Hopkins, it sort of puts everything in the right order. So, and then again, if Burks is going to be what he looks like right now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, oh, now we can make the A.J. Brown comparisons or anything like that. I pump the brakes hard, but
let's go there.
Yeah, I know some will, but he looks like a guy who, and even it's just, again, just the routes and the seeming command of the offense, and it's such a difference. And you see this a fair amount in the NFL, rookie year, especially a kind of an injury-plagued rookie year to second year if you have a supremely talented player. He's pretty talented.
Joe, what have you seen from the tight ends to this point in camp, even though the pads have not really come on yet?
Well, nothing from Josh Wiley, so that's the right now the injury concern, you know, at tight end. You know, Chig, looks really good. It's, again, from the blocking perspective, from the heavy usage, high snap count. I think that'll be there for him. It's, you know, I have no idea right now. He's gotten bigger for sure. He's going to be a weapon for sure. It's, you know, the rest of the room is, I'm, you know, like Trevon Wesco and Kevin Rader are out there, and I've got both those guys making this team, and they're guys who fell out of tight end room. Wesco is big dude who's going to kind of be the H-back fullback in some, you know, when they're going to run gap, you know, straight ahead stuff. And I will say that Alize Mack is interesting. You know, he's a second-year player. Didn't do a lot last year, but I noticed him in the spring too, and he definitely has a little bit of juice as a pass catcher. So you're talking about, okay, well, I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong on second year, by the way. Seventh round pick of the Saints in 19. So he's bounced around and largely been practice squad guy. Saints, Steelers, Chiefs, Lions, Packers, San Antonio, Brahmas, and then now he's here. So you look at his career path and you're like, okay, so kind of a journeyman, kind of practice squad, maybe bottom of the active roster. I'm just saying right now he's making plays out there. This is probably more of the camp, you know, hero type situation, but it's still worth keeping him in mind. I mean, he does run pretty well. He's catching everything right now. You know, he's 26. So even though he's bounced around a lot, it's not like he's old.
Coming up next, depending on your perspective, there are something going on at camp right now that is either very encouraging or very concerning, maybe both. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Do something every day that makes you laugh or makes you just go, man, that's crazy.
Man, I think that's the best part about Arnie. He's going to be himself, and I think that's what you want as a teammate. You know, someone who come out, you know, when it's in time to hit the field, you know, he's going to have that energy. He's going to fly around. He's going to do something that make you laugh, like you said. Even in I was in there getting stretched for a practice, and he jumped in a cold tub, and he jumped out, and he was like, wake the fuck up. He told himself to wake up. It's just things like that where, you know, he just being himself, and that's what make him who he are and, you know, who he is, I should say. I'm happy he with us. He brings a lot to our team. You know, he brings the energy. He brings his athleticism and his play style to our defense, and it's fitting right with us. So, like I said, I'm excited to see. We're going through practice right now, but, you know, when it's really time to put them pads on, I'm excited to see what more he can do.
That was Jeffrey Simmons on the play of Arden Key to this point in training camp. And Joe, as he mentioned, pads not been on yet, not been full contact out there to this point. But Arden Key certainly making some waves during training camp to this point. And you mentioned it earlier, the pass rush as a whole has been effective to this point in camp. So it's the age-old, you know, adage in this discussion that could either make you really excited about the Titans pass rush and maybe what it has to offer this year in the NFL. It could also, on the flip side, make you turn around, especially given what happened last year, and say, huh, what about this offensive line? What exactly is that going to look like by the time they suit up against New Orleans coming up in week one? So with the caveat, again, Joe, that, you know, we're not in full contact out there in training camp to this point. What have you seen from the pass rush? What have you seen from the offensive line? And if you're a Titans fan today, as we sit here on July 31st, how concerned are you about the offensive line at this point?
Well, you should be concerned. I mean, I would say even if the offensive line looked good in the first few days, you'd be concerned. I mean, we just have to see this offensive line function in real games. And still don't know right tackle. And it is good. Like, Jamarco Jones was back Saturday, so that's a good thing for the Titans for sure. Chris Hubbard right now is getting in there, and, you know, very early, but I don't have a great sense, you know, for right tackle. Left tackle, I talked to Andre Dillard quite a bit after Saturday's practice. Really good conversation. And, you know, he's a guy who cherishes this opportunity and I think has a great outlook on it. And also, I think he has a great outlook on the Arden Key situation, because he's looking at, like, basically, hey, it's great. Like, Arden Key's a great teammate and making me better. Right now, Arden Key has given him a problem a lot. And that's where it's like that particular matchup, it's like, okay, so we've talked about Arden Key. There's a lot of excitement, like the trash talk element or the talking element. The energy and juice he brings is you cannot miss it out there. It's like between Simmons and Key, I don't know how many teams have two guys like that who just love talking like the whole time. Like Lambeer and Mahorn of the Titans, but he looks great as a pass rusher. But then that just gets into the whole. Okay, so is he looking great because Dillard isn't a very good left tackle? Is Dillard looking vulnerable because Arden Key is such a creative and explosive pass rusher? All I know is this: the offensive line, by the time they get to the season, they will have gotten fantastic work. One thing you should feel good about, Titans fan, is like the looks they're getting and just the individual issues you have with a Simmons, an Autry, a Landry, who looks good too, by the way, a Key, throwing a Tart, different blitzes they're throwing at them too. They're blitzing everybody. Like, this offensive line is going to be prepared. It already looks to me like Vrabel's like, let's absolutely just throw everything at them. And trial by fire, and a month later, hopefully they're better for it. Because right now, they're definitely losing.
Yeah, and, again, maybe that's a commentary on how good Arden Key is going to be. We know what Harold Landry is when he's healthy. Obviously, we know what Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry are. So, look, there should be no denying that the Titans front, a lot of people were upset about this last week. Warren Sharp came out with, his front seven ratings in the NFL, and I think the Titans front seven was rated at number 23.
Ooh.
And people were like, oh, my gosh. Like, you have Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and Harold Landry and all these guys. How in the world could the Titans front seven be rated number 23? When everybody's healthy, I think the Titans have a pretty darn good front seven. Now, albeit linebacker is different this year, and we're going to see what Alshire and what Monty Rice can do. But I still think that, to your point, when these guys are healthy, Titans offensive line should be getting a heck of a look. And I think 23rd for Warren Sharp's ranking on the front seven for the Titans is pretty ridiculous.
If they're 23rd, then they will. They'll get the number one pick. And that's the strength of their team. Yeah.
Right.
if they're 23rd, yes, they are a terrible, terrible football team. Just bank on it. Like, count on like three wins. Yeah, that's rough. I could see some hesitation on Autry aging and Landry off the ACL, but no, that's not what they are. And again, Simmons, is Simmons done with the ankle stuff and all fine? Is he's a very good football player. So, yeah, Arden Key is the guy I watch him and it's like, well, let's compare what they invested so much in. They invested so much in Bud Dupree being that fourth guy. And obviously we know here and there it looked good and he chipped in, but there wasn't much there. He couldn't be on the field much. Arden, you give me full season of Arden Key with what he looks like right now, I'm not saying he's double-digit sack guy, but I think he will affect quarterbacks and will definitely help the collective there. And, again, right now, he looks fantastic. And so it's that, and then it's, again, Andre Dillard. Great outlook on it, for sure. Getting great work, but what happens when he sees good pass rushers in this league?
At TN Sports on Twitter says, I honestly just can't see this offensive line being worse than last year. Maybe I'm wrong, but to be that bad, I just can't see it. The effort is to improve and was heavily invested in, and I expect some early woes until they gel. But other than that, I think they'll be fine. This is from at TN Sports on Twitter. Got a texter on the text line that says, if Tannehill has an MVP-ish season this year, let's credit him and not be like with elite talent around him. None of the top quarterbacks in the league do it with subpar players. This from a texter on the text line. So going from concerns about the offensive line to when Ryan Tannehill wins the MVP, Joe, let's make sure we give him proper credit this year. I like it.
My goodness. And that's an interesting prelude into my rant because I don't see too many people forecasting an MVP-ish season for him. But the point is well taken, right? I mean, show me all the great quarterbacks. I mean, Dan Fouts, one of the greats of all time, we can all agree.
Yes. Friend of the show.
Kind of helped to have, you know, kind of helped to have Kellen Winslow out there and, you know, Wes Chandler out there. I mean, find me the QB, and I know some people would say Brady, and he probably is the best example of someone who made it work. But, you know, when Brady had gaudy numbers, he had still had skill guys performing at high levels, like, oh, I don't know, Randy Moss.
There was that. Julian Edelman, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Anything you could do? I mean, you brought up Fouts and Brady in the same sentence again. I'm here for it.
Yeah, yeah, basically. You know, they're the same historical tier. Hall of Famers.
Yes, they are. By the way, some quick news on the Indianapolis Colts front, Joe. Anthony Richardson has had a procedure on his nose yesterday to correct his nasal septum. He's going to miss practice today, and depending on how he feels, we expect him to return tomorrow, the tweet from the Indianapolis Colts. So a procedure to correct his nasal septum for Anthony Richardson today, apparently.
Okay. Well, is this like the Colts news dump trying to, like, hey, everybody, Anthony Richardson's got a nose thing. Let's talk about that.
We don't have a running back. We have a quarterback, and he's having a procedure on his nasal septum. Keep that in mind.
My goodness.
How many times will he touch his face after surgery? That's the greatest question of all time.
I like
that. By the way, I'm just going to point it out, Joe. We're an hour and 40 minutes deep into the show, and we still have not heard from Indy Ben to this point. No comments from Indy Ben, at least that I've seen on the text line, given the Jonathan Taylor situation going on in Indy.
Don't make me use the C word, Indy Ben. Don't be a coward. Get on that text line. I want to hear your thoughts. Jonathan Taylor, come on.
He's breaking down.
I know you're listening. I know you're listening, Indy Ben.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. Make sure you tune in for some Nashville Sounds baseball tomorrow at 635 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Rolling down the street in a Hyundai Tucson. Wonder why you married a two. Laid back. With your mind on your hubby and your hubby.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Joe Rexrode's rant of the day. Joe, the floor is yours with that beautiful sound in the background. And I turn things over to you.
It's like the equivalent of, like, Michael Scott's, like, threat level midnight. Like, just a piece of beautiful art.
No, this is on its own category, Joe.
Yeah, well.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right about that. Woo! Okay. that kind of throws you off a little bit. I got to refocus here on what I want to rant about other than myself ever talking to a microphone. Well, I was at practice the other day, and Jared was complaining, just whining. Talking about the Athletic and saying, when is Mike Sandow going to get his quarterback tears?
Right.
Well, they're out. And let me just say, I am not going to go through them all because it's a great piece that we all look forward to every year. Everybody should check it out. It's really excellent reporting. So 50 league insiders. We're talking he had 8 GMs, he had 10 head coaches, 15 coordinators, 10 executives, 4 quarterbacks coaches, and 3 people who are in coaching analytics. These are the different people who voted on the quarterback tiers. So, and then ranked the quarterbacks, okay?
Okay.
And I'm not going to go through the whole list or anything. It's all kinds of fodder, but I'm going to go right to number 22.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill. And I'll just mention that 21, Justin Fields, 22, Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
And I'm going to read a couple of comments that were made about Ryan Tannehill. Quote, Would you rather play with him or against him? To be honest, he's probably someone I'd rather play against. Those three interceptions in the Bengals game could have been the beginning of the end for him. End quote. Okay. All right. Let me read. Okay. Quote, a Tannehill team can't win a Super Bowl. His limited mobility has made him more vulnerable to hits, and his career is turning into the Ryan Fitzpatrick discussion, where he's holding on to a position with younger and experimental pieces around him. End quote. Yeah.
Limited mobility.
Well, here's another one. Quote, he used to be a really good athlete, but he's older now, can't move as well as he used to. I mean, WHMR all day, okay? But this is clearly, I think what this does is, in case we didn't know already, I think this really crystallizes why people think the Titans are bad.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, there's a variety of different people. Like, if you, so I expect a GM or personnel person to have a better grasp on something like this. If it's like a coach who, like, they don't play Tannehill or something, then I can kind of see it, you know, like an NFC coach and they see him every 4 years or whatever, something like that, where you just don't really pay attention. You're not actually watching the film, right? But there's just this, like, this, too many people here seem to, I mean, five people voted him tier four, two voted him tier five, which I didn't even know that existed. Okay.
Yeah.
It's inaccurate. Like, it's disrespect to the point of inaccuracy. And again, this is the same show. I'm the same guy who, after those Bengals picks, was like, yeah, it's just, he can't do it in the big moment. So the quote of a Tannehill-led team can't win a Super Bowl, I mean, until we see it, you know, fine. You can say that right now. But the overall misjudgment of what he is as a quarterback really is kind of amazing. In this league, with all the cameras and all of the information that's out there, he's not 22 in the NFL.
No, it's pretty wild to me, especially when I look at, you know, obviously, look, I'm not saying that Ryan Tannehill belongs in the top 10 anymore, because I don't think he does. Like, you know, you look at Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, some of these other guys in the top 10. Like, I don't think he belongs in there. But, I mean, and again, I'm not going to give away the whole list, but they got Jimmy Garoppolo at number 18 on this list. Like, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo barely played last year, and he's going into a Raiders situation. I know he's got Devontae Adams this year. Like, is Jimmy Garoppolo that much better than Ryan Tannehill? I mean, they've got Jared Goff at number 15. They've got Derek Carr at number 14. Like, some of the guys that they've got ahead of Ryan Tannehill, and not just ahead of him, like, significantly ahead of Ryan Tannehill. We've talked over the past couple of years about them being kind of right there on par, maybe in some cases Tannehill being a little bit better. So, I think I know where a lot of this is coming from. Number one, to your point, how much time do people actually spend watching the Titans? And apparently that includes some people in the NFL. I don't know. And the other part of this is you go by his pure numbers last year. And we've talked about this, and they're not going to blow you away. I mean, his numbers last year weren't good. Now, if you watch them play and you watch the way that the offense deteriorated around him and he was hobbling around on one ankle for half the year, then there's some context that you can add to it. But I am a little surprised that he's this low in the rankings, given some of the other names around him. I will say, at least they have him over Mac Jones in this ranking. Apparently, but they do.
Well, hey, congratulations, Ryan.
Way to go, Ryan.
You beat out Mac Jones. Barely, but you beat him out. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, really, if you're a Titans fan, you should like this. You know, you should like all of this. I'm not saying, you know, Tannehill is going to look at the quarterback tier story and do more one-handed push-ups than he's already doing. But he looks good out there. He's going to have a good year. He's going to have a good year if the Titans allow him to have a good year, if the guys blocking for him allow him to have a good year. And, like, I do agree. There's some other conversation about, like, and I agree with this, you know, basically his level of play have to be so high that it almost seems unfair. You know, we've talked about that. Yeah, I mean, this is in all likelihood his last year here, and he's trying to stay in the league. I don't know what that does to, like, performance or whatever, but – right now, he's still a good quarterback. He's still, and if he's not hurt, he does move well. If he's not hurt, he's fast.
Yeah. I mean, his mobility was limited last year when he was playing on one ankle. I would agree with that.
Yes. Like if you just watched the Chargers game last year, but you missed the part where he was like peeking out of the injury tent, wondering what's happening in the field, then I guess you could say, wow, that guy's really slow, you know? But no, he's still athletic, able to escape, able to get you some, you know, a little bit on the ground. I mean, this is a constant refrain. It's just, it's a broken record. But, you know, on a day that this comes out, it really kind of reminds you of just how how off people are on this guy.
I would love to know the two people who voted Ryan Tannehill in tier 5 as a quarterback.
Like,
love to know who those two people are.
Like, is that just, I mean, is that like some kind of personal, is that vindictiveness? You got a personal issue? It's I mean, it's like the people voting Vanderbilt to win the SEC. And the, you know, like, come on. Are you kidding me? You can't really think that, right?
I mean, just for context, like there's not even really a tier 5.
Right? It doesn't exist.
In the starting 30. Like there's not, like the lowest ranked quarterback that we see on the list is Gardner Minshew at number 30, and he's a tier 4. So does that mean somebody had him like below Gardner Minshew? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, apparently. Like create a new tier just for Ryan. Like who seriously takes part in this thing? So if you take part in this thing, Sando gives you, you know, a lot of advance notice, like, hey, you know, I want you to be part of this. I know Sando is reaching out to people who, you know, obviously are heavily involved in the league. Like, does that person, like, did Tannehill defend them in some way?
I don't know.
I mean, how could you take part in this and be serious about taking part in it, and then make that your choice? Again, does it matter in the larger scheme? No. But it just shows you this one, as we move toward everybody's predictions and stuff, the Titans are skewed so, I think, quite a bit just by him.
You want to know one of the biggest problems I have with this list, Joe, very quickly?
Jordan Love's not number 2?
Well, there is that. I mean, that's disrespect on that part. Can you explain to me what Justin Herbert has done to this point to be included with Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers in tier 1?
No, it's a great question. Herbert is just like the – I was just trying to think of a comparison for Tana. Like, name me a quarterback who was actually – see, I think Cousins is a good example. Like, he's good, and a lot of people rip him, but he gets respect on this list. I mean – so I can't – I'm trying to think of someone who would compare to Tannehill. Herbert, he's such an incredible talent, a physical talent, right, that, you know, people are – like people always think about – I've heard some people say he might be the best quarterback in the league, might be as talented as anybody. So people are mesmerized by the talent, and he is a talent. But I agree. He, like, doesn't this also have to do with achievement?
You would think. I mean, look, I don't want to sit here and bash Justin Herbert because I think he's really good. And if you're a Titans fan, you'd love to have him. But he's not a tier 1 quarterback in this league based on what he's done to this point. I'm not saying he can't one day be, but he's not based on this point, at least in my opinion. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. And, of course, the Jonathan Taylor situation that is brewing with the Indianapolis Colts as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.